See, I want everybody to just bow your head, and I want you to think, the Lord has already showed me this to share this with you. There are needs. All of us have needs in our life. All of us have questions at times that we just want answers to. There are things that trouble us, and we feel like we're not getting answers. And the Lord wants you to know, I really believe today, and I'm going to, Father God, I just thank you for answers, Father God, that you will speak to hearts. Hearts will hear. Hearts will desire to be obedient to your word, Father God. I thank you that your Holy Spirit is moving in this place this day, and we thank you for that, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Giovanna, I would like you to come up. We're going to have a little fun here before we start. And I just knew. Okay. In ministry school, I can remember Dan Smucker saying that parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's how Jesus spoke when he tried to help people understand things deeply. So, we're going to pretend. Giovanna, I'm going to give you a credit card. Now, this is what we're going to do. This is yours, Giovanna.
Thank you.
But there's things you got to remember.
Okay.
I got to remember to hold this mic up here. I could see Randy's eyeballs from here.
She feels it.
Okay, this card, anytime you have any need, I want you to use this card, no matter what it is. You will receive no bill. Praise you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus. Yes.
If you need joy, you draw upon this card. If you need health, you know where to go. It's like it's all paid for. There's no bill. Whatever God's plan is for your life, there's provision. But this is a big one. You will always have a choice whether you're going to use this or will you reach in your own pocket. Make that decision that you're not going to draw upon that which God. Okay, you all figured it out. This is how God wants us to look. He has said in his word, he's given us everything.
Yes.
Through Jesus, everything. But we still have a choice. And Randy hit on that in Bible study. You know, we have choices. But we can still bankrupt ourselves by just doing our own thing. And what happens when we're obedient? Look at the upper right-hand side of the card.
Rewards.
Yes. God blesses us. Thank you, Giovanna. I knew I could pick on you. Okay, so this is Pastor Bill's card. So Pastor Bill is with us today, and I know Randy said to me the other day, Pastor Bill would be so proud, and I know he would be, because he would tell me that at times, Donna, I'm so proud of you. And that always really encouraged my heart. So what I want to share with you today, I had begun reading a book. I just think everybody has to have it. It's God, the Revealer of Secrets. It's by Nancy Dufresne. And everybody likes to know secrets. You want to know you're not missing out on anything. And God has secrets that he is looking for us to seek those secrets. Not everything's just dropped. He wants us to seek. So the one page she talks about, he wants us to show us hidden things. And she reads from Jeremiah 33:3, and it's the Amplified Classic. call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things, fenced in and hidden, which you do not know, do not distinguish and recognize, have knowledge of and understand. Since the Lord has put this book in my hand, it's given me more of a revelation of how many things as believers do we just assume we know? How many things as believers do we think we don't have to seek him about? And I think the conviction has really been on my heart is just having deeper times of seeking him, being quiet before him, and really understanding what he's trying to speak to me. And just recently, it was probably about a week and a half ago, I had a real experience with the Lord, and what had happened, there was something that was bringing confusion to me. And I didn't know what to do with it, and I didn't do anything with it. I just kept thinking about it. Was that right? No, it wasn't. But yet, in being busy, and I think we as a busy people, a lot of times, we can just let things gnaw away at us, and we don't realize how that's destroying us. Okay, so this confusion mounted into heaviness on me. And I can remember the one night I went to bed, and I woke up at 4:30 in the morning, and I just stayed up, and I can remember, and I'm just going to try to articulate what happened. I came out into the kitchen and I sat down, and I can remember just dropping my head. Now, the point I really want you to see with this, I did not say, Lord, what's going on? I just sat there, but I knew it was in his presence. I asked him no questions, but I was with him. And I think the thing we miss many times is so much of our what we perceive to be prayer is us talking. And we need to come to a place where we're just sitting and waiting and listening attentively. And I sat there quietly with my coffee because I still wasn't totally awake. And I had my head bowed. Now this thing, this heaviness, the best I can explain it, I was sharing with Pat Mark Murphy, you know, in the Snoopy when Pigpen had the little cloud, I felt like there was this cloud. And it was really, it's funny to laugh at, but it was like, that's how I felt. Pat laughed at me too. But it was heavy and it was dark. And if we think as believers, we can't have those times. You're fooling yourself, and you need to know what to do because the devil doesn't stop there. Okay? He does not stop. He will feed one lie after another. And as I go into the teaching, you're going to see how this all ties to what I'm saying now. The heaviness was strong, the darkness, and I heard, it wasn't an audible voice, but those of you who are sensitive to the Spirit, you know in the Spirit of God speaking to you. I didn't say a word to him. He said, doubt. The spirit of doubt. And as soon as he said that, it was like it was busted. Everything left. I didn't say anything. He spoke that, and that thing broke over me. I never had an experience like that. So as I was sitting there, I was just thinking about it. And then all of a sudden, he started one thing after another. And I grabbed my pen and I started writing. And it was probably over, I can't even remember. It was probably about 40 minutes. It was one thing after another. It was probably about, I think it's about 8 different things. And I looked at it. I walked away from it for about an hour. I came back and I thought, this is the Lord, because I wouldn't, it's not, I did not think this stuff up to say. And then it was hitting me, this isn't just for me. I'm to share it with you. And a spirit of doubt is trying to get on us. It's trying to get on us. And I'm going to explain to you what the Lord showed me. And I'm sure there's other manifestations that this could, the way it could come. But I'm going to share what he said to me, and I'm going to say it word for word because I was writing it down. And what I did do before, I made of these, if anybody starts to hear me that I'm doing this, Randy, wait. I made a list of these things because I don't, for note takers, a lot of times you can get caught up in trying to write word for word and then you miss what's being said. These are here. If you want them, they're right there. At the end of the service, you just come up and get one. And then you can add your notes to what I shared. But a lot of times we don't understand what we're missing. And I have some stories. I love to tell stories. You've seen that in my bulletin. And the Lord was bringing to my remembrance stories or experiences that just tied right in. So Dave Landis always taught you got to keep things fun because when you're laying out heavy things, a light heart makes you receive better. So I'm going to tell a story about Elsa. Elsa makes everybody laugh. Okay, Elsa, it really... Honestly, that dog could have been a search and rescue, drug sniffing dog. Her senses are so amazing, it just blows me away. So one day I had brought her in from outside and then all of a sudden, just like that, there's something under the TV stand and I gotta have it. Oh gosh. If you know what it's like, I mean, I just thought, what is it? And she was relentless. She was not going to let it go. I could not distract her. So I got down on my heavy knees. I could not move the stand because it's too heavy. So I had, I think I took a ruler, a long spoon, and here out comes this tiny little bone that got under there. And I don't know how long it was there, but it came to her senses. I got to have that, and I got to have it now, and I need your help, okay? Now, the spiritual thing with that, how many times do we come to a place where we know something's wrong, we know something's missing, and we just got to ask, God, I need your help with this because I can't do this on my own. So I learn from my dog a lot, you know? So that was just one story that, now, I'm going to read from the Passion. Hold on a second. I do need two hands. Proverbs 4:23, if you want to turn there. It says, above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you do. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. So we have to understand that what we have, what Giovanna was given, I'll try to refer back to that, you know, that little story. It has to be guarded. What God's given us has to be guarded. It should be precious to us. It should not be taken lightly. Now, in 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9, I believe I did that from the, I thought it was from the, it says, that's from the Passion as well. Be well balanced and always alert because your enemy, the devil, roams around incessantly. That word means an unceasing manner without interruption or relief. He does not take breaks. And he wants, and I'm not trying to come from a place like being devil conscious, but we need to know what we're up against. And we have the power of God in us. We have the light of God in us. But he is relentless and he wants to rob it from us. And we got to put our foot down in the spirit. Excuse me. Take a decisive stand against him and resist every attack with strong, vigorous faith. Randy was sharing that in Bible study. Okay. doubt is the enemy to faith. And doubt comes in so many different flavors. It comes in so many different manifestations. And it will destroy your faith. It will make you weak. And what's really sad, a lot of times when you become weak, you don't even realize it. Okay, and it's dangerous. For you know that your believing brothers and sisters around the world are experiencing the same kinds of troubles. So we need to always be in faith. Now, the first one the Lord showed to me, which at first when I read it, I was like, I was going to rearrange the order. And it was like, nope, it has to be in the order he showed me. The spirit of doubt will try to make you question who your God is and what you are to do, but whether that be your gifts or your callings or the job you work at, what you've been called to do. He wants you to question what he's told you to do. He wants you to question the path that he's put you on. He wants you to just weaken in that, and God does not want us to do that. Okay, the next one. The spirit of doubt will tell you that it is okay to think certain ways. And those certain ways, I'm not saying God wants us to be mindless, whatever's he, but we can fall into this thing of, oh, I believe the word of God, but I don't feel this works, so I just think this. It's poison. It's even if it's against the word of God, and you'll feel comfortable exalting your opinion over God's word, it's very dangerous. Okay, and I felt in that it was a warning. And with that, when I was going over these things, it was like, these points for the skeleton, and as I was meditating and praying, the Lord was showing me what to add on to help you all to grow in this. So this thing will cause you to be anxious and restless in your spirit. Now, the thing about thinking about things, feeling you can think about certain things, Psalm 131, Lord, my heart is meek before you. I do not consider myself better than others. I'm content to not pursue matters that are over my head, such as your complex mysteries and wonders that I'm not ready to yet understand. I'm humbled and quiet in your presence, like a contented child who rests in its mother's lap. I'm your resting child, and my soul is content in you. O people of God, your time has come to quietly trust, waiting upon the Lord now and forever. Okay, now the next one. This spirit, and I feel really strong about this one, it will attack you in your personal life, your close relationships, your family members, and those that you're called to work with, and as our church as a whole, it wants to divide. A spirit of doubt will cause things to go wrong. It will affect your trust in one another, and it's a dangerous thing. And something I wrote that came to my remembrance in one of Nancy's books. I read it right after Pastor Bill went to heaven. And she said when her husband was killed in a plane crash, now she pastored a church. She said the first thing when she gathered her children, when she heard of the news of his death, she said, I just want you to understand something. I don't want to hear none of this. Why did this happen? The will of God is still intact in my life. And the will of God is still intact for this church. And I proclaim that the will of God is still intact in this church. And we will not be moved. Pastor Bill's in heaven. we are here, and he would want us to go forward in the will of God, and we know what that is, and we have to believe that to go forward. We cannot move off of that. Along with what I just shared there is it'll render you unable to judge things correctly. And when that happens, you start to dim your own light. Okay, God's called us to be a light. Now I'm going to read from Matthew 5:14, actually. Your light, your lives light up the world, for how can you hide a city that stands on a hilltop? And who would light a lamp and then hide it in an obscure place? Instead, it's placed where everyone in the house can benefit from its light. So don't hide your light, let it shine brightly before others, so that your commendable works will shine as light upon them, and then they will give their praise to Father in heaven. Your commendable works will shine as light upon them. So envision yourself when you're out in the marketplace and you start speaking God's word, light. It's like shining a flashlight right in their face, and God wants that light to shine. But if we're doing things, walking hand in hand with doubt in our life, doubt in God's word, entertaining any type of thoughts of doubt, is going to hinder you from your light fully shining. The next one just speaks for itself, and I think this one is on us more than what we realize. The spirit of doubt is going to try to intimidate you, and it's going to make you attempt to make you feel small and inadequate. Okay? Who did God tell you you are, and how did he tell you to function? And what does it take to move you off of that? All it takes is one sarcastic comment, one misspoken word, one unkind word, and it can affect you. And I think the thing that led me to where I was when the Lord broke through, it was a degree of self-doubt trying to come on me. And when Pastor Bob and Dale and Pat, they were so excited when I said, I'm ready to step back in. And they were ecstatic. They were like they were happy. They were so happy. And I just don't think, I didn't know when it was going to happen, but I knew this was the time. So the enemy would love to have me step back. And you know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? And we have to support one another, and I'm going to get into that a little bit. That we have to live by God's grace and not our own ability. And we're called to things. We can't look at how we're going to do this on our own. And when I gave Giovanna the credit card, it's like God gave us his word, but how many times do we stop and reach into our own pockets of ability and say, I got this, God, I'm going to do this myself. And I have reasons. And I've seen failures, blah, 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 and that's where we get tripped up, and God doesn't want us to live like that. Now, I wanted to share, this was just a really precious time when Pastor Bill was really going through some hard times and being a caregiver, being so hard. I remember mornings I would wake up and I was so tired before I even got started. It was one of those mornings I woke up and I knew it was God speaking, because I couldn't have thought it up, because in a way it just didn't even make sense. He said, you are battle tired, but not weary. That's all he said. You're battle tired, but not weary. And I just didn't know what to do with it. And one day, Jesse and I were together in the car, and the Lord put it on my heart. You know, he was in Iraq, he was in Afghanistan, he was flying drones, he saw things, he knew about battle from a different perspective. And I said, Jesse, I have a question. I said, the Lord spoke these words to me. He goes, what? And I said, he said that I was battle tired, but not weary, and it doesn't make sense. Just like that, Jesse goes, Mom, you're exhausted, but you're still on point. You're exhausted, get this, but you know there's a mission to be completed. And that really ministered to my heart, because a lot of times when we're weary, that's when the enemy tries to get in and move us around and rob us of our strength, tell you you can't do it, whatever, you know. So in saying all that, the thing I want to bring out with that is when we're at that place, you have to be honest with yourself. This is why it's so important that we be close to each other. Be honest with yourself and get help. God's your help, but a lot of times we just need help from one another, and we need to be honest with those we feel we can trust. And I can remember Mary Schrader, and I don't know how many of you remember her from back when Dan Smucker. Jolene, do you remember Mary? Do you remember her, Pop, Sally? I was in a real big storm, and I'll never forget what Mary said. She was such a powerhouse. She said, Donna, you have a 450-watt problem, and you have 250-watt faith. And I loved that, because you know what? She was being straight with me, and she was saying, you can't do this alone. We're going to stand with you, and we're going to stand, and we're going to pray, and we're going to get you through this. And that's what we have to do with each other. And I'll tell you what is important with all that. We need to be observant in spirit of one another, what we're going through, because it's so easy to just miss that people are dealing with things and they're hurting and they need help. And they just need someone to stand with. They don't need to know all the facts. Sometimes people, they just need, you know, I just need you to pray. I need you to stand with me. When I started to lose Jared in my pregnancy, I was so devastated. I mean, I was bleeding so bad. I called Bill at the office. He was on his way home, and I went to my phone and called Marie Shepherd. Do you remember Marie? I said, Marie, I don't even understand what's going on. And she said, this is from the pit of hell. That's all she said. Do you remember when you said that to me? And it was such a trial. And when I got to the hospital, it looked so bad. And they told me they were looking for heartbeat. Well, they saw the heartbeat, and I was like, praise the Lord. And then they sent me home. The doctor said, complete bed rest. No spy movies, no Miami Vice, nothing exciting. You just lay there and be calm. Don't let anything upset you. Be calm. Because that will cause you to bleed. Now, along with what I'm saying, this was an unfortunate thing that happened. Someone had called me feeling they were going to help me, and they spoke all these things that I was doing wrong, and this is why this was happening. And I started to bleed again, and it was bad. And I went and laid down. Okay, so I was told they wanted to do another ultrasound. And another friend of mine called. She goes, Donna, I'm coming over. We're doing communion. So I said, sure, come on over. So I got to say this at this point. When I was at the hospital for the first ultrasound, the one nurse, she was crying. She was so attached to me. It was kind of really cool. And she said, we didn't even give you pictures of that ultrasound because your baby was ready to exit. It didn't look good in the natural. So this person came and did communion. And while we were doing communion, I felt something kind of like a little jolt in my belly. Well, I had to have another ultrasound, and when I had that ultrasound, that baby went, Jolene, you remember this when I told you this, the baby, Jared went from being almost gone to back up in the uterus. And it was like, my doctor said, this is a miracle. But Donna, you're not out of the woods. I had three different infections, one that was life-threatening to me, and all these different things, and there was no symptoms of one infection. So the devil comes to steal and kill, and I got through it, and Jared will be 42 next month, and praise the Lord. Yeah, that's right. Okay, this is the next point he spoke. Instead, this is where this spirit will bring you. Instead of standing still and knowing he is God, the spirit will cause you to stand still and not move forward. It will freeze you and keep you from doing what you know God wants you to do. Okay? Now, this came to my remembrance, and this was kind of a very fascinating experience. I mean, it was just powerful. I worked at this law firm, and every day this attorney would send me to get fruit salad and coffee for him. And I would have to walk by this parking lot, and you know I love dogs. I love big dogs, little dogs, mean dogs, bad dogs. I love them all. I think they're all wonderful. And this dog was mean. It was a Doberman Pinscher, and he was mean. And he was on about a 25-foot, and it was on, you know those commercials, those SPCA commercials where dogs are being treated bad, and they got these big cable chains on them? He had one of those on. And he would come when I was walking for this fruit salad and coffee. Every day I'd be there, hi, and he'd go growling and barking, and he'd come full throttle towards me and stop where he was half killing himself. And he was just mean. There was no, he just wouldn't stop. He was not going to make up to me. Well, here one day, I learned about standing still and knowing he was God. This dog came charging for me, only this time he didn't have his chain on. And I saw it all coming, and he was getting closer to me. I'm thinking, Lord. And I remember I pointed my finger at that dog, and I said, in the name of Jesus, you can't touch me. And that dog stopped dead in his tracks about 8 feet away and looked into my eyes, kind of like, and I'm like this, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I don't want to go like this. So what I'm bringing in with the laughter, sometimes you can be strong in your faith, but still have apprehension. But that dog stopped and looked at me straight in my eyes and turned around and went back, and he did not have his chain on. And I just thought that was such an awesome testimony. I will never forget that. And you just, things like this are there to build our faith of how great our God is. Okay, now the next one I'm moving on here. Actually, I do have another story with that one. And it's a dog story. You're just going to have to deal with it. Elsa, when we got Elsa, she's this cute little fur ball, 8 weeks old. And that fur ball grew into a cocky little teenager at about 4 months old. And I started to see her doing things that I never saw any of our shepherds do. And I started, and this was all around COVID, so it wasn't like you could walk into a pet store with your dog. Nobody wanted to touch anybody or smell anybody or breathe on anybody. So I was on my own with her, and I was like, she's doing some things here that are kind of confusing to me for like a four-month-old dog. She looked me straight in the eye with this defiant look, like, I'm not going to listen to you. Mark, you know those kind of dogs. I think I talked to you about this. So I started to inquire, And it was like, you got an alpha dog. That's what you got. She thinks she is going to try to control you, and you better figure out how to deal with it. So I was at the grocery store one day, and this woman's talking to me. She goes, you got to get this book. It's called There Are No Bad Dogs. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, there are. Oh, yes. But this woman trained military dogs, dogs in movies. Like, she's not even alive anymore. And, you know, I got a few things, but I realized the thing with Elsa at a very young age, I would have to be so firm with her. It even gave Pastor Bill problems at times. Like, aren't you being a little hard on her? It's like, she's not going to think she's controlling me, okay? This is how she will learn I am the boss. I'm not going to put up with this, okay? So I can remember, I still remember the one day. She'd had this thing, I'm going to run off and put something in my mouth that I know I shouldn't have in my mouth. And then she would be like a vice grip and hold her mouth shut. And I can still remember Pastor Bill sitting on the chair. And I'm down in that dog's face, holding her top jaw up. And they're down in, the dog's fighting me. And Pastor Bill's going, I can't believe you're doing that. It's like, I got to get this out of her mouth. But she had so many encounters with me like that, that even now, it's kind of funny that when she knows she's being bad, and she is bad a lot, I'm just saying, and she knows by the tone in my voice that she is very displeasing, and you're not going to do that. And to this day, when she knows that, she will run and keep sitting in front of me and giving me, probably, please forgive me. I'm sorry. I really didn't mean. She wants forgiveness. She wants to know she's back in right standing. But I had to learn what I was dealing with. And a lot of times in our own life, there are things we are dealing with, and we better learn how to get a handle on it with God's help, because you don't want it to get out of control. Okay. The next one is, doubt will turn the expectations you once embraced in your heart, and they'll be turned to impossibilities in your mind. Doubt will turn the once expectations you embraced in your heart, they've turned to impossibilities. Now, a lot of times, I think when we don't see things change, it can be very discouraging. We can keep looking at what happened instead of looking forward. Now, Philippians 3, 12 through 16, Paul said, I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I'm pursuing, but I run with passion into his abundance, so that I may reach the purpose for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me, to make me his own. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. As I fasten my heart to the future instead, I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus. So let all who are fully mature have the same passion. And if anyone is not yet gripped by their desires, God will reveal it to them. And let us all advance together to reach this victory prize, following one path with one passion. He wants us to follow one path with one passion. And Spirit, the Lord, I thought this was kind of interesting. And I wrote it down. Don't get tangled up in the knots, okay? We can get tangled up and held back by what is not, what has not yet happened, what has not yet changed. And you start looking at that person or that situation, and you dwell on it and dwell on it. And we can't change people. Pastor Bill, I can remember many times if I would be upset about something and I'd think, you know, I want to help. I'm just like, Donna, you can't fix people. Only the Holy Spirit can fix people. And it's not that our hearts aren't, but a lot of times we just got to come to that place where you speak the word and you let it go and not get tangled up in the knots of what is not there. Okay, the next one is, instead of speaking to your mountain, now you just stare at it. Complete focus on God will cause you to have strong faith. If you stare at the mountain, you're going to become stagnant. If you're staring at it, it's kind of like you're putting up with it. That's how I saw it when he said that. It's like sometimes we just look at it, but what happens, that mountain just gets bigger and bigger and bigger rather than what God's put in us to speak to that mountain. This spirit will attempt to unsettle you and make you think two different ways at the same time. And that's a dangerous one. You know, when people say, well, I can walk and chew gum at the same time, why? So can I. But thinking doubt and unbelief and faith at the same time is not pure faith. Right, Randy? It's not pure. It's not double-minded. If any of you, James, lacks wisdom to guide him through a decision or circumstance, he's to ask our benevolent God, who gives to everyone generously and without rebuke or blame, and it will be given to him. Yes. But he must ask for wisdom in faith without doubting God's willingness to help. For one who doubts is like a billowing surge of the sea that is blown about and tossed by the wind. For such a person ought not to think or expect he will receive anything at all from the Lord. Anything at all from the Lord. Being a double-minded man, unstable and restless in all his ways, in everything he thinks, feels, or decides. We can't be double-minded. We can if we want, but we shouldn't want to live like that. We need to ask God to help us with that. Now, in wrapping this up, this is what I would say to you, okay? We need to seek God fervently. How can I grow in my faith? Am I growing at the rate I should be? We need to be honest with ourselves and ask God for help and spend time with him and be honest with exactly where we're at. And another one is seek to stay in his presence. And that's something God has just touched my heart so much, like even preparing for this, where just to be in his presence, it can happen anywhere. Sometimes it might be 5 minutes or 2 minutes in the car where you can just feel the Spirit of God tugging your heart and wanting to speak to you. But we can't be so busy and that God can't even call on us. He wants to call on us. He wants to speak to our hearts. It's like that morning when I sat there, I didn't say, Lord, I don't know what to do here. I didn't say a word. It was just time in his presence and he spoke. And it was so powerful. Consult with him often. You know what? He wants to talk to us about more than spiritual things. He wants to tell you to go this other direction instead of that direction. Malcolm Smith, one time in his teaching, said, a lot of times holdups are God's favor in our life. It's God's, you know, you might have wanted to do it this time here, but then you find out there was a horrible something happened down the road there, and you would have been in that mess at that time. And this is really easy. When you see you're in doubt, it's not the end of the world. Ask God to help you when you're doubting. Ask him to help you. It can be as simple as like, God, I don't want to doubt. I need help with this. I don't want to be in unbelief. I want to be in faith. And let him fill you with his presence that you can go forward in faith. And basically, it's the same thing as far as wisdom, but ask him to reveal to you what you don't understand. Because a lot of times, if we're left to ourselves trying to figure things out that we don't understand, we end up reading into things. We end up reading into situations. We end up letting people affect us. People can make remarks. People can do things. But we are called to love each other. We are called to support each other. Here at Abundant Life Center, we are called to be a light to the world. And the devil wants to hinder your faith from being that bright light. Now, Randy, you have a song. You had said the Lincoln. Are you still willing? Okay. Now, what I want to ask, if you want to come up and just play quietly. At this point, you heard all this, and you just want someone to agree with you in prayer. You need help, and we're family. There's something that's bothering you that you need help with, and you want wisdom, or you just want prayer. You don't need to say a thing, and you want prayer. You can come up, and I'm going to have Phil come up as well, because I ask him to do this, to be ready to pray as well. So if you need help, I want you to come, and we're going to pray. Dave has a word here he's going to share with us.
Just as we were worshiping, before the service started, the Lord spoke to me and said, it's time for the church to rise up and doubt. Rise up and get rid of the doubt. Get the doubt out. Doubt the doubt. A lot of the problem, we think we need great faith. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, it's just a little bit. It's enough to do the job. But we let doubt in. So get rid of the doubt. Doubt the doubt and get on your faith. That's what the Lord said.